Well, good morning. As Karen so ably put it, we're happy to have friends today, and we're happy that you have friends. So, who's here for the first time? Who's here for the first time? Let me see ya. Welcome. Great. You all pay attention so you can welcome them. We're so glad to have you. Thank you for coming. Ava, are you a friend today? I'm glad you came. And Ava brought a friend. Look, in her arms. We even want our dolls to be Christians. Thank you for coming today. So we ask you to come on in and find a spot. And as we study this name of God, El Elyon, God Most High. Well, in the whole wide world, there is no God, little g, made of stone or carved out of wood or crafted from any other material or raised up in your mind that can compare to El Elyon, God Most High. Any guesses where I traveled to get these photos? Who said that? Oh, look at them. Here's another one. Look. And note this one. Note the posture. The reclining idol. You wouldn't find God El Elyon in this position. The psalmist writes, he never slumbers nor sleeps. Our God, God Most High. And how about this sign that indicates that these idols or false gods are only on duty or accessible at certain times? How about that? That's not true of our God, God Most High. Well, I'll answer my question, where do you think I was? As I strolled through the garden of idols, just 15 minutes from my house, I strolled through with my handy little iPhone camera, and I thanked God Most High that He is real, always available, that He never slumbers. And as I walked along, I quietly sang these words, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature, and all created things, you know it, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Above all wealth and treasures of this world, there's no way to measure what you're worth. So let's get to know this name better in the context in which it's revealed. So go ahead and open your Bibles if you have them with you today. And if you don't, if you're using a device, get it turned up and on to Genesis chapter 15. But make sure the audio is off. And we're going to look at the context in which this name is revealed. The name El Elyon is made up of these two Hebrew words, and we've already looked at El, the name for God, and Elyon means highest or most high, and combined they give us El Elyon, God Most High. Well, in these verse 10 verses of Genesis chapter 14, we're thrust into this chaotic situation. Look with me there and be assured God Most High was active in that chaos. Now there's 10 verses and we're not going to read all of them for time and honestly because there's a lot of words I can't pronounce. Did y'all find that to be true when you looked at them yourself? Mm-hmm. But I just want to tell you about what was going on in those first 10 verses. There was great chaos in the Valley of Siddim. There were 9 pagan kings, and they were at war. And the situation was chaotic and out of control. And it's against that backdrop that the name El Elyon is revealed. Well, the battles continued, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, or I practiced that one, but as we say in Texas, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were not faring so well. And so we do need to look at verse 10, because that'll sum it up for us. Now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, or maybe your translation says tar pits, or slimy pits, or, but that's what they were. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. How do you suppose pagan kings prepared for battle? The passage doesn't tell us much about their pagan practices, but it's likely they had idols of some sort, or at least they saw themselves as gods. Perhaps they bowed before their idols or asked for favor and power to be victorious in the battle ahead, or maybe they just bolstered their own confidence by telling themselves how able they were, how powerful they were. Was El Elyon, God Most High, active in that chaos? Indeed, he was. Just as he is active in your personal chaos. How do you cope in your chaos? Do you bolster your own confidence by telling yourself you are strong enough or smart enough, capable of coping? Or do you bow your heart and your knee in humility to God Most High and ask for his help and his wisdom to walk on in the chaos? God, El Elyon, God is most high, high above your chaotic situation. But he is not removed from it, as one of our group leaders stated this morning in our group leader time. In his time, by his sovereign power, he works. He works even in the chaos. So let's look further to see how God Most High is revealed. God Most High revealed in the crisis, number 2 on your outline. So look with me in Genesis 14, 11 through 16. So just to recap, it was 5 pagan kings against 4 pagan kings. One commentator calls part of that group the Dead Sea Confederation, and it included Sodom. And it was wiped out during the battle. And Lot, Abram's nephew, let me just make a little disclaimer here. Abram is the name of Abraham before his name became Abraham. So I might slip into the other name just because we all know him as Abraham. But Abram had a nephew named Lot. And Lot, his nephew, who chose to move to that wicked city, that pagan city of Sodom, was taken captive along with many of the others in this battle. And just as an aside, I want to make mention of something here, and to expound on it would be another lesson. But Lot, Abram's nephew, chose to live in that pagan land of Sodom and Gomorrah. He lived among the pagans, but he belonged to God, God Most High. And God Most High, El Elyon, saw him. He knew where Lot was, and in his sovereign plan, God Most High made a way for Lot to be rescued. Look with me there in the beginning, in verse 11 of this section. It says, then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions, and they went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's nephew, or Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and they departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aniah, and they were allies with Abram. And now when Abram heard that his nephew was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his nephew Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. This name, El Elyon, is not revealed yet. But be sure, God Most High was active, not only in the chaos of the pagan kings, but in this crisis that involved Lot. He was actively working his sovereign plan, and his activity involved using Abram to rescue his nephew Lot. The sovereignty of God. It's a big subject, isn't it? The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink has one thing among many things to say about the sovereignty of God. And Pink writes this about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God may be defined as the exercise of his supremacy. Don't you love that? The exercise of his supremacy. Being infinitely elevated above the highest creature. He is the Most High, Lord of heaven and earth, and he is subject to none. Did you hear me? He's subject to none. Divine sovereignty means that God is God in fact, Pink writes, as well as in name. I love that. I underlined that about four times. Because we're studying his names. I don't care if you remember the Hebrew part at all. But I do want you to remember his name, God Most High. And his name is true in fact and as in name. He is on the throne, Pete goes on to write, the throne of the universe, directing all things, working all things after the counsel of his own will. The sovereignty of God. El Elyon is his name. And that name expresses the extreme sovereignty and the majesty of God. He is most high. But he is not removed from your chaos or your crisis. Well, the account continues in Genesis 14. And we learn that the crisis passed and the calm followed. Look with me at God Most High praised in the calm. Verses 17 through 24 of 14. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of, okay, hold your breath here. Look at that word. Kedorlaomer, the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed him, that is, he blessed Abram, and he said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him, Melchizedek, a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. I'll take only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me. Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. praising in the calm. This Scottish pastor, Andrew Bonar, wrote this: "Let us be watchful after the victory as before the battle." Praising in him in calm. When you praise El Elyon, God Most High, you are giving praise to the only God worthy of praise. You're putting into action the belief that there is no one higher than God, that his power, his sovereignty, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his compassion, and on and on and on are unequaled. They are unsurpassed. Just look at this. God is the highest of all, as recorded in Luke 2:14. I didn't print all of these on the slides, but I'll read them. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest." He is God, the highest of all. Jesus is God the Son. He is Son of the highest. Luke 1:32, part A says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the highest." You remember. And then God the Spirit is power of the highest. Luke 1:35 records it this way: "And the angel said to her," that is Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." God's Spirit is called power of the highest. And what about you? Believers are sons of the Most High. As is stated in Luke 6:35a, Jesus speaking said, "But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be the sons of the Most High." Praising him in the calm. So much for which to praise him. When Abram rejected the king of Sodom's offer, his emphatic response was his testimony. His emphatic response to that pagan king was his testimony. He relied on God, the possessor of heaven and earth. El Elyon, God Most High. Abram did not want anyone to think that a man, especially this man, a pagan king, met his needs. How sensitive of him. How sensitive to God's goodness, so sensitive that he wouldn't even take a sandal strap, a shoelace, offered to him by a pagan king. Why would Abram do this? He was guarding his own heart, and he magnified El Elyon in his own heart and before others. In fact, look again at verse 22 in chapter 14. Look what Abram did. He prepared his heart and mind before the battle. He made a vow to God Most High. That's what it says. "But Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth.'" He'd prepared himself differently for the battle than did the pagan kings who went into battle. How will you prepare your heart to face the chaos and the crisis that could be ahead for you? And what about after the chaos and the crisis? What about after it, when it clears, the calm? Will you praise him in the calm? When you praise El Elyon, God Most High, you're giving praise to the only God worthy of praise. You're putting into action the belief that there is no one higher than God. That his power, his sovereignty, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his compassion are unequaled. They're unsurpassed. Now here's a danger: to forget who is most high. To forget who is God Most High. That's a danger. And here's a reminder: It is not you with your efforts. It is not you with your abilities. It is not you with your achievements or what you think is your ability to control your life and the life of others. It is El Elyon, God Most High, who deserves the praise. He is the one to be praised. And what does it look like when someone does not heed the reminder and falls into the danger and forgets? What does it look like when someone forgets who is God Most High or fails to acknowledge God Most High? Well, we have a clear picture in Scripture of that scenario in the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You looked at that in your home study. Listen as I read those passages again. Daniel 4:30 says, "The king spoke, saying," this is King Nebuchadnezzar, "is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" I'm sure he had his hands on each side of his robe. And in verse 31, it goes on, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven." And you can be sure it thundered, because it is the voice of God Most High. "King Nebuchadnezzar," and there had to be reverb. "To you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." The story goes on. It says, "That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar." Well, of course it was fulfilled. It was the word of God Most High. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. I'm going to make a really radical statement here. But when a believer fails to acknowledge and obey God as El Elyon, she is exhibiting spiritual insanity. When I fail to acknowledge and obey God as God Most High, we are exhibiting spiritual insanity. You may not eat grass. You may not grow feathers like an eagle and claws like a bird, but be sure your thinking is all skewed if you fail to acknowledge him as God Most High. We praise him because he is faithful. We praise him in the calm after crisis because he is able, and hallelujah, he is merciful. Before the calm, there's usually a time of urgency. You ever felt that? A time of urgency. And urgency calls for mercy. Just look at David's prayer. You looked at that in your study. Let me give you a little background on this prayer, Psalm 57, that we're going to look at. David was running for his life from King Saul. And he prayed this prayer while hidden in the shadow of a cave. And he cried out to El Elyon, God Most High. And he cried out for mercy. That's what he wrote. "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. My soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me." However high our crisis, however all-surpassing our troubles may seem, he is higher still. God Most High is higher still. I don't know what they are in your life. I don't know. But be sure, He is also God Most High and God Most Near at the same time. How do you wrap your head around that? He is God Most High and God Most Near at the same time when you cry out to Him. God is Most High in faithfulness. Look what David saw. With that last sentence, it's as though David's reflecting on God's past mercies and His past faithfulness, which is reason to continue to cry out to God Most High. He is Most High in His faithfulness. It surpasses every other person's faithfulness. Do you have any doubts about that? You know, others may begin to help. They may start. But God completes. He finishes. Others may mean well, but by carelessness or inability or weakness, they cannot finish. But not so with God Most High. You know, man's efforts to know God Most High, to have a relationship with Him, sometimes involve futile efforts and empty works and even misplaced worship, as we viewed in the photos of the idols at the beginning of the lesson. Mankind has always tried to make God in an image of his own design. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 40, verses 18 through 20, if you want to look there, tells us a little bit about that. God surpasses. He is God Most High. The writer of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, starts by saying, "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. And whoever is too impoverished for such contributions as silver and gold, he chooses a tree that will not rot. And he seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter." That's what it looks like when man tries to design God. But God surpasses. He is God Most High, and He has a gracious plan, a sovereign plan. And in His providence, He worked His gracious plan. The writer of Hebrews now tells us what that looks like. He said of Jesus that He was the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. The New Living Translation says it this way: "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God." God Most High worked His gracious plan. He made a way for man, sinful man, to know Him. He came down, down, down. Jesus explained it to Nicodemus like this: Jesus, God the Son, standing and speaking to God, to Nicodemus, as Jesus, but He is God. He said it this way in John 3:13 and then verse 16. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has ascended to heaven, but He who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven." And then He went on to say to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God Most High wants you to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Perhaps today you realize you have never responded to God's invitation to know Him, to know God Most High. Or maybe You know him by believing in his son. But today, being honest with yourself, you admit that you struggle against his authority. And what's the reason for not acknowledging him as Elyon? It is our own arrogance. Our own arrogance. My sister and I, we spent hours pretending. One of our favorite make-believe scenarios was played out on an old-fashioned swing set. You know what those look like, don't you? You remember? They look like two giant letter A's, remember? Connected with a long bar at the top. And hanging in between the two A's on our swing set at my grandmother's, in East Texas anyway, was two old wooden swings dangling by chains. Chains that were connected with a little hook, you know, so you could adjust the height. Do you remember those? Okay. Well, that's where we lived out our make-believe, one of them anyway. Our swing set in our minds became a grand trapeze in the colossal circus. And we were, drum roll please, the Amazing Smith Sisters. We continued and proceeded to act out our daring trapeze act, balancing on the crossbars and leaning in to grab the swings dangling from the chains. And I'm the oldest Smith sister. So, of course, that gave me supremacy in the make-believe act. And in fact, my swing was lifted as high as I could place it and still be able to sit in the swing. I sat there high above my younger sister, Karen, and in my make-believe, I saw myself high and lifted up. So high that the make-believe audience below could barely make out the features of my face. It was all in fun. But if today I continued that make-believe practice, that false reality, I wouldn't be normal. And that would be sad. But there's something much more abnormal than that, and something much more tragic. If I, a child of the Most High God, see myself as high and lifted up, able to do what I desire at any cost. If I hold my opinions, my rights, my dreams, my possessions in the highest place, then I will not bow to El Elyon. I will not acknowledge him as God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, possessor of me. I will not know he is at work even in my chaos. He will not be real to me in my crisis, and I certainly won't praise him in the calm. Perhaps understanding the name El Elyon, God Most High, opened your eyes and your heart to the truth. Maybe it jolted your memory. The psalmist writes in Psalm 78:35, they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Today, I pray that we live our lives with true perspective. God is El Elyon, God Most High. If we believe that and we truly know him, we will magnify his holy name. Gracious Father, we thank you for this name, for the context of the way you revealed it, for the conviction it brings in my own heart to bow before you and to praise you. And Lord, I ask that if there's any woman here this morning who has never believed in you by faith, by knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, that today she will be so compelled in her spirit that she will not turn away from your moving in her heart. Lord, I pray that if there's any woman here today that has been wrestling with your authority in her life, that she will see it is a futile wrestle, that you are strong and all-powerful, and you will not have your name brought low by our arrogance. Lord, we praise your name, and we thank you that in your gracious plan, you made a way that we could know you. In your name we pray. Amen.